Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the Wednesday, December 11th, 2019 meeting of the Oceano Community Services District to order. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Gibson?
Here.
Director Villas?
Here.
Director Raplogo?
Here.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Austin?
Here. Will you all please join me in the flag salute?
Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. I lost it somewhere. Okay, that brings us to agenda review. So is there anything on the agenda that anyone would like to change?
Ms. Cassiola. President Austin, members of the board, we have modified our recommendations in agenda item 9B. We have provided a modified staff report with the items that have been added to disbursements. The added warrants are for a total of $16,283.62, and the vendors are listed on the back of the handout. This adjustment will increase total cash disbursements from $134,911 to $151,187.73. So at the appropriate time, the recommendation would be for staff recommendations as amended.
Okay. Okay, can I get a motion on the...
I make a motion we approve the agenda as amended.
Second.
Can we get all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, that brings us to item number 5. And this will be recognition of service to the district, Mr. Paavo Obrin. So, should we do public comment before or after? Or before you stand up there, so. should we do public comment or do our resolution or how do we do this?
Perhaps it makes sense to take public comment first, but it's at your discretion, of course.
Okay. Well, does anyone have any public comment on this item, on recognition of Paavo Obrin for his years of service to our district?
Jim Colwell, Oceano. It was so much fun working with Paavo. I just gained a lot of respect and admiration for him. He's even got a sense of humor. You know, you have to dig once in a while, but it's there. Paavo, all the best. Been fantastic knowing you.
Anyone else want to...
Yes, I have a few words. Paavo... It's been great working with you. I've had many opportunities both here and Cambria to work with you. He has been a true professional, a true champion for the people and for the community service districts which he has served, and it has been my honor to have worked with him. It has been my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Good evening. Jeff Lee, Mayor of Grover Beach, and first of all, I want to say welcome to Will Clemens, who I've had the opportunity to work with for the last several years, but also want to say congratulations to Paavo upon his, we'll call it retirement from his current position. And I did have an opportunity to work with Paavo at the county since 2012 until he left and departed and came to work with you good folks here, and then in my capacity as mayor and council member have an opportunity to work with him. But I've actually known him for even longer than that. So in the fact that it's been at least 22 years since I've been married for 22 years. And Paavo was actually at my wedding with his two kids, who my wife was their voice and piano instructor way back when. So my wife had created a series of tiles for our wedding, and my understanding is his family has some of those tiles still remaining. So I wish you well in whatever you do next and look forward to being participatory in conversations with you over water, wastewater, anything beer, exactly. So that you endeavor to do in the future. So thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you.
Good evening, Steve Lieberman, Fire Chief, and I'm going to be on my best behavior for the while the microphone's on. Thank you for the opportunity to allow me to recognize Paavo. Didn't know Paavo very well before he came to Oceano, and obviously being the fire chief for three different communities with three different senses and values, and I can just tell you that Paavo, whether it was his analytical skills or his fierce advocacy for the Oceano community, I've really gotten to know him, and I have found the sense of humor, and I've really enjoyed working with you, Paavo, and wish you all the best.
Tony Maricino, Oceano resident. I just want to thank Paavo for what he's done. I'll keep everything for Saturday. But on behalf of the field staff, I just want to thank you for everything you've done for us, and it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that wants to talk about Paavo?
If I may, President Austin, members of the board, I had an opportunity to work for Paavo for 14 years at the county, so I have a long history with him there. But really, tonight should be about Oceano, so I'm going to leave it to everyone else to talk, and we'll share some stories maybe on Saturday. But I think it was Matt Guerrero that likened getting Paavo to getting Michael Jordan on your pickup basketball team when he was hired here. So hopefully moving forward, you got Steph Curry to replace him.
Yes, Mr. Ogre?
I think I'm just supposed to stand here.
All right. Okay, I'll bring it back to the board now, and we do have a resolution that we have put together, and we're going to read this resolution first, and we're all going to share in it. So our first reader will be Cynthia, Ms. Rapogo.
Resolution commending Paavo Ogren for distinguished service to the community of Oceano. Whereas Paavo Ogren, Mr. Ogren, assumed the vital role as general manager of the Oceano Community Services District in 2014 when the district was in dire need of leadership, and whereas Mr. Ogren came to the district from the County of San Luis Obispo with a significant body of institutional knowledge which has been invaluable in assisting staff and the citizens of the community, and whereas during Mr. Ogren's time at the district, he implemented the major capital improvement project of relocating the utility lines for the Airpark Drive bridge replacement project and gave district staff the opportunity to self-perform said project in addition to future projects, and
whereas during Mr. Ogren's time in the district, he also directed the emergency replacement of a failed water line under the Oceano Lagoon, which required horizontal directional drilling under the lagoon, and whereas Mr. Ogren has obtained approximately $625,000 in grant funding from the State Water Resource Control Board and the California Department of Water Resources for the district's Water Resource Reliability Program, as well as approximately $50,000 in grant funding from the California Office of Emergency Services to prepare the district's local hazard mitigation plan, and whereas Mr. Ogren has implemented a record retention policy and a will-serve reimbursement agreement and process to benefit the efficiency of the district, and
whereas Mr. Ogren performed numerous tasks that are normally contracted to consultants, including a rate study for water system revenues and an update to the sewer system management plan and internal audit program, and whereas the Board of Directors and the public have enjoyed Mr. Ogren's ability to turn a single sentence explanation into war and peace. And whereas the Board of Directors further acknowledges Mr. Ogren's ability to run two community service districts at one time during the year 2019, and
whereas Mr. Ogren is strongly encouraged to continue using the license plate of OCSD GM in his life of retirement, and this is a really good one. Whereas the board has learned over time that any sentence beginning with So, okay, will be followed with a 20-minute explanation of the San Luis Obispo County water history. And whereas, whereas the Board of Directors wishes Mr. Ogren, the boy wonder, we wish him well in his pursuit of retirement as he raises goats and kayaks in Morro Bay, and
whereas the legend has retired. Now, therefore, be it resolved and ordered by the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District as follows. The District Board hereby expresses its gratitude to Pavel Ogren for his contributions to the community of Oceano and the Oceano Community Services District. The Board of Directors wishes Pavel Ogren continued success in all his endeavors and expresses its hope for his continued health, happiness, and prosperity. Do we vote on this?
Yes. I make a motion. I make a motion. We approve resolution number 2019-0.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Can we have a roll call, please?
Vice President White?
Emphatically, yes.
Director Villa?
I'm honored, yes.
Director Gibson?
Absolutely.
Director Rapogel?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes. Was great. And Pavel, we would like to present you with a few little things here.
Tokens.
This is your glass, The Legend Has Retired, 2019. Pardon me.
Can I get a picture of the board? Yeah, of course. We got more.
We have this beautiful plaque for you, presented to Pavel Ogren in recognition for the service you've given Oceano and its citizens. As Oceano's Community Services District General Manager from July 2014 to December 2019. There's that. And then we were worried once you got back to Atascadero that you would not remember how to get here. So we wanted to make sure you always consider Oceano your second home.
Oh,
and
no.
We got this sign for you.
That's
goes in your driveway and at the hardware. So you're closer to your home, you know where to go. So you don't want to get it.
Get over here, girls. It's okay.
3, 2, 1, cheese.
Sorry, the glass is empty.
Sorry, yeah, you can't turn the ball. And I just want to say, on behalf of the Board of Directors here, I appreciate everyone that came out tonight to see Pavel at his last meeting here, and we know he won't be a stranger, because he has gotten fond of us, I believe. He will be back.
Maybe.
So we're bittersweet, but we wish you all the best, and thank you for all you've done for our community over these last few years. It's been very...
Good.
So, okay.
So.
I really appreciate it, you know, and obviously the first thing is nobody does anything alone. You know, the team here in Oceano has been wonderful. I really appreciate the support from the current board and prior board members. If anybody's got anything to complain about, they can blame it on Matt Guerrero and Mary Lucy for recruiting me, and Karen was on the original board as well. You know, again, it's truly been the greatest job I've ever had. Even when I was working at the county, the best experiences were working with the different communities in the county. That's how I, you know, got to know Oceano originally, and had really worked in, you know, on a variety of issues for Oceano for dating back to the early 1990s. And in 2014, where the press wasn't, you know, very friendly to Oceano, the relationships that I already had established, I knew that what we were reading in the paper was sensationalized, and the community wasn't, you know, half as bad as that the paper wanted to portray it as. But still, coming here, there was a lot of work to be done. Celia was a, you know, was the Lou Gehrig of Oceano CSD, and was always really stable. And the individuals out in the field were great. And adding Doug has been fabulous. And of course, Carrie has just helped, you know, bring everybody together, and is the glue of the staff, really. Your board has diverse opinions. I think that you do a good job of making sure that your different perspectives are expressed when you're up there. And it's just been a wonderful experience, and I appreciate the members of the public and everybody else who has come in today to say a few words and everything. And with that, thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Well, yeah, one more, because if I didn't, then I'd be in real big trouble. Thank you, Maria.
Okay, is there any other comments about this item, anyone? Okay, that brings us to, again, I want to thank everyone for coming out tonight to wish Pavo well, and we all do now. We're going to adjourn now to closed session. Is there any public comment on closed session? Seeing none, would you announce?
Yes. The board will adjourn to closed session pursuant to Government Code 54956.9A. This is conference with legal counsel regarding Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District versus the City of Santa Maria et al.
Okay. We're going to adjourn to closed session. When we come back, we'll have public comment. Okay. I'd like to call the Wednesday, December 11th meeting of the Oceano Community Service District back to order. May we get a report out of closed session?
The report out of closed session is no reportable action.
Thank you. That brings us to public comment for matters, for items that are not on the agenda. Is there anyone here that wants to address the board on any matter of interest within the jurisdiction that's not listed on the agenda? For time limit is 3 minutes if you want to address the board. Is there anybody public comment? Okay, seeing none. That brings us to our special reports and presentations. So we have Utility System Manager, Mr. Maricino.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino. Lopez is currently at 52.1% full, which is 25,710 acre feet. We had zero sewer system overflows for the month of November. Lopez has delivered 428 acre feet, and we have pumped 447 acre feet. So we've had our monthly and weekly rounds. We had 13 work orders, 18 USAs, 11 customer service calls. We had one after-hours call-out, and that was for a turn-on. We had to repair a water line in the alleyway between 22nd and 23rd Street in the beach alleyway. It was a broken service line. Still working on changing out meters. As for the sewer jetting, we just completed that for the year, so we're in compliance with our SSMP, our sewer system management plan. The fog program is going very well with us doing it in-house, and we're definitely seeing results with the fats, oils, and grease not being as severe since we just got done with the sewer system cleaning. It's really good that we've taken that over, that program. As for Well 8, it's an emergency generator, that is still online to be up and running and tested by Cummins on the 19th. Which is 19th of December. There are a few little hiccups here and there, but we're still, as of today, on track to get it started. We had meter reads. We're still doing trash pickups for illegal dumping. As for the 311 app, we had three of those. We had three app 311 texts on that. I'm sorry. Kind of forgot what I was talking about for a minute. And as for the drainage, we are still working hand-to-hand with contractor Romina. We still have a few more of our utilities that need to get relocated over the drainage project. So we're still assisting them with either shutting off water lines as they can put in the drainage and reconnect it. And everything else is going pretty well with that. Any questions?
There apparently has been a lot of dumping on 4th Street, and I was told it was on next door, and I was told that it was in Grover, but there was like a refrigerator and a boat, and did we get involved in any of that? Or?
I'm not aware of a refrigerator on 4th Street right now.
No, it's not, but it was in Grover's area.
Okay.
And what I was wondering is, do we ever hop over the border or on 4th Street, being it's such a...
We have not.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. I guess finally somebody cleaned it up.
I've seen all that boat and all that.
Boat and mattresses and refrigerators and all kinds of
things. Because right there where that... there's the wharf head right there. That's the boundary line for Oceano.
Where is it?
There's you got the last house off to the right on 4th Street. Before it kind of goes to the farm fields, that's where Oceano's boundary ends. And there's actual a wharf head, which is a smaller fire hydrant.
Oh, okay.
2-inch, kind of,
yeah.
They're referred to as wharf heads. That's where our boundary stops for Oceano CSD.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll be more than happy to take a drive out there and look, make sure it's...
No, I was just, it was discussed on a website, or a chat room, and there was discussion about where the county started and where Oceano was and where Grover was. And I just,
Another good reference is if you see the road on 4th Street, you can kind of see the difference between where the county's maintained and where Grover's maintained also. I'm just being honest, there is a little bit of a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Tony. Chief Lieberman's left. Okay, now I'd like to introduce our new general manager, Mr. Will Clemens, will give his first report.
Thank you, President Austin. Well, I'm here. I just hit my one-week mark, and so been really happy. I told my wife I'm actually excited to come to work now, so it's a little bit different mindset than the last several years. So the first week, basically, I've been settling into the routine, doing a lot of transitional work with Paavo. That's what we've been focusing on. Tomorrow is his official last day with us. So we have a meeting scheduled for all staff tomorrow that we're going to have and discuss some operational issues. But it was an exciting first week. We had our first bid opening on Friday, which we have an item on the agenda later that we'll discuss in detail. This week I met with the city managers of Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Chief Lieberman regarding Five City Fire Authority. So the cities of Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach, we are expecting resolutions of support for the fire tax to be on their agenda. We also will put one on our first meeting in January agenda, so we're trying to coordinate that resolutions of support from those three agencies. So we can expect that next month. And today I attended my first Flood Control Zone 3 Technical Advisory Committee meeting, and we discussed capital projects for the next year's budget and moving forward with contract amendments, so, and the approach to do that. So it's been a busy first week.
Very good. Thank you very much. Any comments or questions for Mr. Clemens?
No. Thank you.
I have one. Is there going to be an announcement that you've joined us on our Facebook page?
Yes. We are planning to make that the first post. And I know our staff member, Nicole, has been training the last couple days, or they had some sort of training for the Facebook.
Yeah, there's a social media training today, but we've been drafting a potential first post.
Great. Yeah, look forward to sharing it.
Okay. Thank you. Now that brings us to Board of Directors and Outside Committee reports. Or is there any public comment on the staff reports? Okay, seeing none, then we have our Board of Directors and Outside Committee reports. I'll start with Director Gibson.
Hi, good evening. I had two important meetings about water. The first one was about the Zone 3 Advisory Committee. And we mainly talked about cloud seeding. Next month, the Board of Supervisors will sign a 3-year contract. The first seeding will begin in the middle of January. Of course, that depends upon the weather and storms. Most of the seeding is targeted behind the Lopez Lake Dam. And statistically, it's supposed to increase rainfall by 15%. Then I had a meeting with the State Water Subcontractors Advisory Board. Our board voted to opt in to the Delta Conveyance Project, and we allocated $150,000 toward the first phase of the project. A couple of the positives for the community are that water contract changes will allow our district to transfer water, which will help recover some of our costs. And then the project is also designed to improve water supply reliability. those are my reports.
Okay, thank you.
I had one question on the cloud seeding. Do you know if they're going to be taking any measurements or doing anything to assess the efficacy?
I believe so, yeah.
Look forward to seeing those results.
Thank you. Director Villa, do you have any reports?
Well, today, along with Director Rapolgo, I attended the State Parks Public Works Plan meeting today for local and state agencies. So it was a very nice meeting because it was smaller than the public one held last night in Oro Grande. There, they talked about, you know, the three main projects that they have, the Butterfly Grove, the boardwalk here in Oceano, for Oceano, which is what I'm really looking forward to, and also the Oso Flaco controversial project over there. I really voiced my concern there that I thought, you know, I went to the Oro Grande one last night. I didn't see very many people from Oceano, and I just thought it's like they have all these meetings, but they don't have them here in Oceano. So being that it does impact, you know, the park there with all the off-roaders and all the visitors that come for just, you know, other activities, they significantly impact the community of Oceano. So I really voiced the fact that I thought that they should have meetings here and make more of an effort to have them here. I was told that they looked into different buildings and weren't able to get one. So I'm like, well, maybe if you plan, you know, ahead of time, maybe 6 months ahead of time, the community of Oceano will be able to participate, because they're taking public input into how they want the park to be. And it's our beach, right? So really our input is really significantly needed. And they talked about a survey that they had all this, put a survey online, and they had a lot of responses. And that was basically for, the survey was given to people that were visiting the park. But most of them are, the majority of them are from out of town. So I voiced, you know, my concern on that too, that it's like, it's fine that they get their input, but what about what we want? I really personally prefer for Pier Avenue to be closed. I think it would revitalize the whole area there. And I did mention the fact that it doesn't have to be, it's like a us, them. It could be a win-win for all of us. If they could, you know, we could have a safe beach that's pedestrian friendly, that we could take part in, revitalize that whole area, and for them to actually look into another entrance further south. So that's basically, hopefully the community will get involved, you know, talk to your neighbors, let people know that they can go on the website and give their input, go to the meetings, and hopefully the next meeting will be here in Oceano.
Okay, thank you. Director Rapolgo.
I attended three meetings since our last meeting. The RWMG meeting, they set the schedule for next year, four meetings, and went over a summary of changes from the 2014 IRWM plan to the 2019 plan, which included reducing 16 water planning areas to 6 in order to conform to watershed boundaries instead of political ones. There's a new subsection on water quality, and they overhauled the climate change section and then formed a working group to review the plan and assist with comment response. Then there was the Oceano Advisory Council meeting. We had one referral for another vacation rental down by the beach, but it had barely been filled out. It's basically, you know, name and address and not much else. There are no details. So we sent it back to the county and asked them to resubmit it to us when it had been completed, so we had something to evaluate. But we continue to discuss the issue with getting so many vacation rentals down there by the beach. It's It's approximately half of the houses down there now. So we have concerns, and we're looking into the possibility of getting the county to pass some kind of density ordinance for vacation rentals. I think that was the main point there. And then the last meeting was the RAC meeting last week. There was an interesting presentation from the City of SLO on water loss and leak detection. If you're over a certain urban water purveyors over a certain size, which I don't believe we meet, have to do a water loss audit annually. And they are using ultrasonic meters, which give them better low flow accuracy, and leak detection correlators, which is a new kind of acoustic technology to find non-surfacing leaks and leaks under pavement, something that attaches to the valves. And then they've got another acoustic technology that attaches to hydrants that does zone scanning. So it's pretty fancy tech that they're using. It's expensive, but apparently it works pretty well. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. That brings me.
At the fire meeting, there was some employee negotiations, and it was confidential, and so that's what I can report. I'm not even sure I can report that.
Okay, thank you. I'll report on the sanitation, South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. So we had a big agenda item on our redundancy program, and as you know, we're pursuing the USDA low interest financing to pay for a portion of the project. And so the USDA initiated an informal consultation with the United States Fish and Wildlife to review the compliance, to review our project compliance with the Endangered Species Act. So like the USDA federal funding, they always bring in the federal Fish and Wildlife to concur before releasing any funds. So we have our consultant, RINCON, and they did a biological evaluation, and the USFW agreed with the biological evaluation except concerning the red-legged frog. So our consultant reported that the red-legged frog was not likely to adversely affect the project because there was no frog seen on the site during surveys, and there's no habitat found, and the actual building is on a current operating facility. It's not like in a new area. It's already a place that's being used. The Fish and Wildlife came back with that. The plant is in such close proximity to the Meadow Creek, or Grande Creek, and the Meadow Oceano Lagoon, and they say that during the rainy season, the frogs travel, and so there's a possibility they could get onto the site. So the Fish and Wildlife referred to their recent ruling on the Morro Bay sanitation plant, and they want to remain consistent with having us do a formal consultation with them to determine what would happen if there was a red-legged frog on the site. And that could take up to, it's no longer than 135 days, maybe less. So that puts our bid date out 76 extra days. So we discussed it quite a bit, and after discussion, the board agreed to we will continue to pursue the USDA funds and comply with all the federal regulations. So we don't to give up the USDA funds and when try to go somewhere else, we'd still have to worry. We'd still have the red-legged frog wouldn't go away, and we'd have we'd be in a bad situation there with penalties and criminal charges, even a work stoppage if we don't get what happens if you get your permit through the Fish and Wildlife, you get it's called a taking permit, where if you find a frog, you're allowed to move it in the right way, move it out of the way. But if you don't have that permit, then you have to wait for the frog to move itself. And that could be, you know, you can't do a jumping contest. Anyway, so we're going to continue on and pursue to get the permit and do it that way. So, and then we had another, we tabled it. We had a conflict waiver with our legal counsel. The City of Arroyo Grande's legal counsel is Carmel and Associates, and our legal counsel was asked by them to do some work for them. And being the Roy Grandys, they're all on the Central Coast Blue project, and so is our attorney Gill is on the Central Coast Blue, so we don't know if there's a conflict, and so it was tabled to get more information. Even though he would not be doing the Central Coast Blue, it's still something they're going to look into more. And so the representative from Aurora Grandy, Ms. Ray, said that she wanted to talk to it and bring it back, and then we'll. Our budget was, we did a budget adjustment with revenues and expenditures, and that's all good. And then another reminder on those things you buy at the store that say flushable, they're really not. Anything that says flushable is not flushable. You don't flush those flushables down. It causes a lot of damage to the equipment, and it's getting to be more and more, and it takes a lot of time to clean them, to clean
off. That's like wet wipes and Swiffers and
Swiffer,
like
the
that.
Wet wipes, all those things. Like you see them in the store, and they'll say flushable, and you just don't do it. You just put in the bare what you're supposed to put in, you know. So if I could just get everybody to not flush, they call them rags in the business, you know, but it really builds up in the equipment and it causes a lot of problems. So try not to flush things down the toilet. And that's it for my report. So that, is there any public comment on the reports? Yes, Ms. Lucy.
Good evening. Oh, and welcome aboard, Mr. Clemens. I wanted to go back to what Shirley had said a little bit and what Tony had said, is that, it, you know, last year, if you look at our groundwater pumping, we really pumped minimal, all the participating cities, because I don't think people underestimate the value of water. And so Oceano has set itself up intentionally to have the resources that we need to be self-sustaining. So I have to bring it back to the water issue. And so last year we did minimal ground pumping, right, because of the groundwater reserve and, you know, the drought and all that, right? And so we drew most of our water off Lopez. And to hear Shirley say, now we have the ability to transfer water, because in this county it's very, very hard to transfer.
We will.
Soon. It's hard to transfer from one entity to another in certain situations. And so everything should be tied together, right? So to hear you say that in the future that they're working towards the ability to politically and physically move water is a very, very good sign for Oceano. And so I want to go back to what Mr. Martino had said, that 53% of the Lopez Dam is full at this point. Why would we be even looking at seeding at this point? That I can't see the urgency to seed. And so I ask you to, if our reserve is at 53% full in November and December, and we haven't even gotten into the rainy season yet, right? Why would Tech be considering seeding? And I'm just, my last point is that, uh-huh. Yes, I'm very biased against seeding. I don't like it. You know, so if there's no grounds for it, then why would they be doing it? So, thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. Is there any other public comment? Did you want to respond?
Yeah. Basically, there's going to be an assessment at the time, and it all depends on the weather and storms. So
they will decide then if they...
Yeah, and then, you know, if it's... flooding in places, well, they're not going to seed because there's flooding. So it's kind of common sense plan.
So do I recall correctly that they were going to seed last year, but then they didn't because there was enough rain?
No, they weren't ready to seed. It hadn't gone through the Board of Supervisors yet.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. That brings us up to our consent agenda items. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, please. Come ahead.
I'm sorry. I actually came to speak on something else, but I wanted to point out that Director Villa, my name is Nancy Bull, that Director Villa mentioned that the Parks has a plan in mind, but I just wanted to make sure that you realize that their plan involves closing Strand, closing Grand Way completely, putting all traffic on Pier Avenue. That is what their plan is currently. So if you'd like to object to that, it certainly would be appropriate, because moving all the traffic would mean all the trash, all the turnarounds, everything on Pier Avenue.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Where were we? Oh, 9A. Review. Okay, our consent agenda. So we have the minutes of November 13th, the cash disbursements, and I think we have amendment on that. The resolution to close the district for normal operations on December 24th and December 31st. And we want a recommendation to approve a budget adjustment in the amount of $13,000 from facilities fund contingencies to paint the old fire station at 1687 Front Street. So is there anyone want to pull any of these out for separate comments?
I don't need to pull anything, but I just have a couple questions.
Okay, which?
On 9B, I see, and thank you for marking what the larger bills were for, but I see on page 6, about the middle, Burdine Printing and Graphics, 2333 for bills. I assume that's printing these bills, right? So this is the only bill that I get in the mail. All my other bills are e-bills. I know it's only your first week, but maybe one of you know. We talked about moving to e-bills or assessing that previously. Is that still being
evaluated? Yeah, it is. We've been talking to about four different vendors. Not all of them offer the e-bills, but it would be the people that are the same people that are offering the credit card options have an e-bill option. So that is something we're exploring right now, and we're talking about four different vendors right now. So it's
okay. So we may see something soon to consider.
Yeah.
Right, thanks. And then I also got this with my bill, and it's a sheet of paper covered almost entirely on both sides with yellow ink. So I just wonder in the future if maybe we could just use yellow paper instead of using all this ink, because that's got to be expensive as well as not as good for the environment.
Absolutely, yeah, I'm sure we use Burdine Printing, and they have colored paper. That would be something we could talk to them about.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. And then on 9D, firehouse painting, well, last time we talked about maybe seeing some paint color samples. Is that going to be at a future meeting?
Yeah,
or?
Yes, we're going to. This is just to authorize the. This is the sample. What is it, the initial painting?
But don't we have to pick a color to do the painting?
Yeah, we were going to pick a color. We were going to pick a color. But they were going to paint the primer and all that first. So are we?
I believe.
Our new managers.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a good idea.
Five women who want to pick the colors. Think about that.
So we got, you know, I think at your last meeting, we had all the bids in, and you authorized us to move forward with awarding the bid to the low bidder, right, depending on if they had lead and prevailing wages in their price. Mm-hmm. And so we checked that, and looks like Browder Painting is the one that was chosen. And so this item here is just a budget adjustment so that we can pay for that. But I believe that Browder's painting it all white.
We haven't chosen
We haven't chosen colors.
I'm not sure if it's something the ad hoc committee would want to do or if it's something the board would want us to bring back. I'm not.
Well, okay, so we'll go ahead and vote on the recommendation just to get the budget adjustment, so we are allowed to spend it, and then we will move on next time as to what we're going to do about colors. Or
yeah, we can.
They're just going to paint it a base color because we're going to do a mural, so it'll probably just be like a base beige.
So we could probably bring that back at the next meeting and have some options for colors for you.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Sounds good to me.
Navajo white.
Which shade of white would you like?
Yeah. Or Swiss coffee.
I make a motion we approve the consent agenda as amended.
Second.
Let's take public comment on the consent agenda items. Sorry. Is there any? Okay, we have a motion on the floor, but we can still take public comment if there's any public comment. Seeing none. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Rapogel?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes. Okay, that brings us now to business items. So 10A is the update on the low impact development component of the Water Resource Reliability Program and approval of a letter of support. But I think you have a...
Yeah, so initially we had thought that we were going to approve a letter of support tonight, but evidently the grant got pushed out, so we're going to hold off on the letter of support to a future agenda item. So tonight we're just going to receive the update and have a presentation by the Council for Watershed Health and Canon Corp. If that, so if we could introduce them.
Good evening, Madam President and Directors. My name is John Evans with Canon Corporation, and I'm going to give you a little slideshow here. This is kind of part two of what was brought to you last time. And if you'll recall, there were some options on the table last time as to what elements of the stormwater technical assistance would, where it could be applied most effectively. There was four different options, and two areas were chosen at that time. And there was also a couple options on what the street cross-section would look like. There was one that was showing the one-way street, and then there was another one that showed two-way as well as some parking, and that was the one that was decided upon at the previous meeting. So what we're really here to look at this evening, after a little bit of a summary, is to show you what currently would be planned on the west side of the street, where we're proposing some decomposed granite rather than a hardscape sidewalk, and I'll explain that a little bit and kind of what the overall plan view of the street would look like. So as I mentioned, in October there was a presentation and some decisions on your part, and as a reminder, where the options are existed at the time was on Warner Street, Beach Street, and then there's a two-block section of 19th Street between Beach and Paso Robles, and then project at Oceano Elementary School. And the site B and D were chosen, looked at. The conclusion was is they were the most effective areas to treat as much stormwater and clean it up as much as possible, kind of best bang for the OCSD's dollars in that regard. And so this is a plan view, and you in your agenda packets you should have a couple larger sheets that show from one intersection between, I believe it's Ocean and Beach, and then the next one is extending down to Paso Robles. And then, as I mentioned, there's a typical cross-section of what the streets would look like, and this would be, I believe, looking north. So on the west side, you would have this kind of meandering decomposed granite walkway with some planting kind of between where the meandering areas are. And then on the east side is where the more formal bioretention area would be that would capture the street runoff that would be flowing down the street. And in areas where there's currently not already sidewalk on the east side, the sidewalk would be installed. One thing that I would point out on this as far as the why of the west side of the street is to make this project as grant attractive as possible. That's why we're not proposing hardscape or sidewalk on the west side of the street. So the more permeable material that we have, like decomposed granite pathway, as well as the vegetation, that is something that the grant would actually fund versus hardscape would not be eligible on that side of the street within the grant. And what we're trying to foster on the west side of the street with the current configuration is to try to keep some of how the side of the road is currently used by the residents in front of it, which is they're parking on that side and then close up to their houses also, because there's no curb there. So once the curb is put in place, the thought is that if there's a gravel path, but along with some landscaping, then the landscaping, kind of a low-lying landscaping, would function as a deterrent to people just driving up their driveway, turning and continuing to drive over and just park in the gravel area, kind of like they're doing right now. So that's one of the purposes of the vegetation, as well as just the enhanced visual aspects of the vegetation also. Little slides, and I know they're hard to see from where you are right now, but the kind of the existing view looking north down 19th Avenue would be the far right image. That's what it looks like right now. Then the image kind of down to the left of that and below it, that's what the street would, kind of a conceptual drawing of what it would look like with the gravel or the decomposed granite and low-lying landscaping installed. One thing that I would point out about that image right there is actually at that intersection, per American Disabilities Act requirements, is we would need to put handicap ramps at all the intersections, even where the decomposed granite pathways stub out to the street intersections. And that's not currently shown on either the plan view or the photo image, but that's what the project would look like during final design. That's okay. Too much of a pause there. And then jumping ahead a little bit, when we get down to Oceano Elementary School, the other aspect of the stormwater treatment would be to capture water that's currently flowing down one side of 19th Street and divert it into infiltrators that are buried underneath part of the school's field area. And that water that's captured there, the intent is for most of it just to infiltrate into the ground and recharge the groundwater basin. Also an effective way of pulling water off the street that might have any contaminants in it that would end up in Aurora Grande Creek and then the ocean, and instead we're diverting it off and storing it, and as I said, recharging the groundwater basin there. A couple final points is the technical assistance program is going to continue through the grant application project, and right now the timing of the grant is thought to be sometime in March of this next year for the grant to go in, with the award being sometime in the second or third quarter of 2020. And the grants generally span a 3-year period, and the Community Services District can do their 5% matching against that grant at any time within that that 3-year period. So if you have any questions, be love to answer them for you. Yes, ma'am.
What kind of volume of water can that infiltrator take?
Oh, that is a good question. I'm trying to recall how many. I'll explain how large they are. I'll go back to it. I'm not sure what the actual cubic feet of water is, but they are, and you can kind of see up at the very top there, kind of look like half circles or arches.
Yeah.
And each one of those is about 6 or 7 feet in width. And so what the intent of it is to make sure, especially when storms have what's known as the first flush, when you know kind of most of the contaminants are in the runoff, to be able to handle all of that and pull it into the infiltrators, and then any flow volumes that would exceed that would be able to bypass it, but it's grabbing the water that's got most of the junk in it to start with. So it's, you know, if you had to compare the volume, I'd say it's, you know, it holds about as much as like a backyard swimming pool would hang on to. Yeah, pretty substantial water. Yeah.
Thank you.
No. Any other questions?
Yeah, you mentioned putting in the ADA compliant ramps at the mm-hmm. intersections. It's still okay to have a DG path attached to that? Because I imagine that's kind of hard to get over if you're in a wheelchair.
I think what that would probably mostly function as is a route for, like, especially kids going on their bikes or walking to the elementary school. Anybody in a wheelchair would be able to go on the other side of the street where you have hardscape there the whole time.
Yeah, I was just wondering about any legal requirements. And because there's a sidewalk on the other side, it's okay.
Correct. Yeah.
But you still have to have the ramps.
You do. Yeah. Because I know it's a little odd. But and where we look to as the design engineers for those guidelines is the Caltrans guidance documents, which are actually kind of look at the Federal Highway Administration overall designs. And if you're creating pathways that people are going to use, then at the terminus points, then they have to be ADA compliant, even if the surface itself is not necessarily ADA friendly.
Okay, so that's the law, I guess. Have the residents along the street been involved in the process? Have they been notified or consulted?
I'm going to defer to Darla for that question, if you happen to know.
Hi, my name is Darla Elswick. I'm representing the Council for Watershed Health. So the CSD had a Prop 84 grant that they did that was part of the LID feasibility study, and there were surveys and outreach that were conducted at that time as part of preferences more general for the designs and the 5 alternatives that you saw. We generally don't go out and do a lot of community engagement until there's an awarded grant, because it raises expectations if there's not an mm-hmm. awarded grant. And at that time, we go in and do more of that community outreach, and if there's any modifications or anything to the designs that need to be done based on that community outreach, then that is done. The main item that the grant would need to adhere to would be that with the budget and the performance that is stated in the application. And so many times we go through and modify things. If sometimes you get a residence or a business that's just absolutely dead set against, or you know, there's something that we didn't know about where utilities are at or something, to modify the design. But yes, we usually don't do that outreach until we feel assured that there is an awarded grant. People get actually angry.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Thank you. Yes, and I believe the volume infiltrated is 4 acre feet a year that we're estimating, but we'll need to get back to you on that number.
Okay.
I like the design, and especially landscaping and the meandering path.
Is this, can I just ask, is this similar to the what they're doing in Grover Beach now, up in the north part, where they're doing the decomposed granite and making paths? Is this the same type of...
Yeah, this is Larry Kramer. Larry and I work together at Canon, and Larry is way more familiar with that project. So,
good evening. Yes, that it is very similar on some of the, as you come up to some of the bulbed out intersections that in their particular case in Grover Beach, their Measure K funding didn't pay for sidewalks, so that was their alternative to put in DG Pass up into that,
okay. So
into those zones.
So this will just be going in where the sidewalk is, like the easement for that. It won't take out any of the road, make the road smaller?
There is, with the bioswales, the one unit that you see there in blue, there will be a little bit of narrowing of this street, which is pretty typical for a complete street like this where you're trying to get multiple modes of transportation in the same space. And so a little bit gets sacrificed from the cars for the peds and the bicyclists. So there will be some of that, those features involved in this project.
The landscaping, well, is there any way, it's drought tolerant landscaping, it'll be put in, then is there a maintenance part of the maintenance plan for it to keep it?
For all landscape, there will be maintenance required, yes.
And the decomposed granite, it gets wet and people, it's, I don't know.
Most of the time, they're required to put a binder in that material, and so it actually, it's pretty cohesive.
Okay.
So if they do it right, it is, you can drive on it with wheeled vehicles.
You won't be walking and tracking it into your house.
there's always going to be a little bit of that, but with the binder, it really cuts that down.
Does the binder reduce the permeability?
A little bit, yes.
Just a little bit?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item?
Excuse me. I have some questions, so I don't know who. Do I direct them to you? Do I direct them
direct
to you?
Direct them to me, and then
or
we'll
do I direct
them
to the engineers? Is that. First of all, I don't think anybody studied the population that travels along the 19th Street corridor to the school. When you're taking your kids to school, a lot of people, it's not just people in wheelchairs who need to be ADA, where people need to be ADA competent. You know, it's people who have families, or maybe you have two toddlers, and you have one in a stroller. Do you really want to be meandering through, you know, the neighborhood who's fighting for now parking because it's been blocked off by DG, which is AKA for glue in sand? I mean, it's nasty, nasty stuff. I'm sorry. You know, I would go for cement over DG. I've been cleaning up DG off my property for 10 years. And that's what you do. You clean it up. And, you know, if you're already fighting the sand and riding your broom 23 hours a day, hey, what's a little DG sand? No, that stuff, dust, it blows through your house. So please, I'm begging you not to minimize that. It's good for bike paths. It's good for access roads where pedestrians are jogging or riding their bikes and stuff. Great. Perfect, right? If you're trying to get your kid to school with two kids in tow, look, you don't want to be pushing a buggy through DG. I'm sorry, you don't want to do it. And so the other side of the street, if I read this correctly, is that you're going to lose parking on an entire side of the street. So where are the residents going to park? You know, because in Oceano, we all have six cars in the front yard. You know, so, I mean, it's just the fact of life, you know. So, yeah, I wouldn't do much community outreach, too, if I was going to be taking some parking and having people travel through DG, which, you know, most of us regret ever coming across this stuff. So look at the population that's using 19th Street. That's all I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to do anything, but look at the population that uses the street and see if this matches who it's supposed to be intended for. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. I don't think you had any questions, just comments, right? Okay, is there any other public comment? Okay, so this is, we're just took the report and we're not taking any, we're going to have a subsequent meeting. We will discuss a letter of support, right? So thank you very much for your report. Okay, then now we'll move on to item 9B, consideration of recommendations to approve a trial program for residential large bulky item disposal and to provide staff with direction on reducing 2020 garbage rates. So do you have a...
Oh. President Austin, members of the board, item B is a discussion of the options for our district cleanup week and the option to reduce the rates in 2020. So staff met with South County Sanitaries, and they are the ones who provide solid waste, recycling, green waste services to the community. We discussed the first option, and it was the community cleanup week that we get twice a year. And as the program's set up now, it's just twice a year, one in April, one in September. And for the past 4 years, your board has covered the first five bulky items for customers in the September cleanup. Along with that September cleanup, you're allowed 12 equivalent trash cans for free, or equivalent to it. You don't have to have 12 trash cans. It can be 12 bags. But that won't go away. But we were just talking about bulky items for the most part. So in the last couple years, the program's grown pretty large, as you guys know. You can see the garbage company traveling around for 3 to 4 days after your cleanup day, still getting things because so many people are participating. So, and it also, you'll see people tend to hold on to things until fall, until they're able to get covered for the five large things. So we discussed the option to set up more of a voucher program to help alleviate some of that buildup. And so the garbage company came up with two options, and we discussed it with them. One would be for the customers to call in, and they would be able to schedule their five bulky items for one time. And it'd be on their normal trash day, and you would also be allowed to do the 12 free equivalents. But you would only be able to do that once a year. So let's say you only had three things. You would call, and that would be your three, and you'd be kind of missing out on two. The second option, which is a little more friendly and flexible, a customer could call, and they could call up to twice, and they could use either three or two of the vouchers and then call again and then use the rest of them, and the garbage company would be able to track that. So the time you called for your bulky items, you'd still have to do your 12 equivalents the same time. You wouldn't be able to call, do my bulky items, then call, do my 12 equivalent trash cans. So those were the two options we explored, and we have them on page 30 on Exhibit A, and they're kind of spelled out on how it would work. And so that's one thing for us to consider tonight. And the second item we discussed with the garbage company was reducing rates, since they were increased by 10.1% in June of this year. These rates are actually scheduled to go up by 1.7 at the beginning of January, so January 2020. And based on the franchise agreement the district holds with the garbage company, the district receives 10% of the gross revenues in franchise fees. So we use that revenue to do the cleanup week, to do all the other solid waste programs that your board has adopted for the community. But the district has been able to build up some of these reserves in the past years, and a graph on page 21 illustrates where we're at, and we're about, and for after this budget, we'll be at $350,000 of estimated reserves. So your board has the ability to lower these rates for customers by taking a decrease in our franchise percentage, which is 10%. Other CSDs have done it in the past. If the district was to lower their rates, we gave a couple examples, 1 through 5%. We were showing how it would impact the reserves. And that can be seen on page 21. And it shows the three-year, the annual impact, and the five-year impact. So based on your board's direction tonight, we would need to bring a resolution back to adopt that. The garbage company would like to see that. But with the voucher program, either changing it up to the voucher system where people call in and schedule their own, or staying with the two time a year, we could do it with the board minutes and write a letter and let them know. So just another thing with the voucher program I wanted to point out is that if we do the voucher program, the two cleanup weeks that everyone participates in April and September would go away, and customers would be able to schedule their own. So that's another important thing. We'll have to do a lot of outreach if you do adopt that to let people know, because I know we have a lot of people calling and asking when's the free one. So we would definitely need to let them know because they wait for it, and I don't want people to wait. So with that, we can answer any questions.
Okay.
And I just wanted to clarify something for the public. So we're not talking about reducing the garbage rates. We're talking about reducing the franchise fee that is basically passed through and charged to the customers on their bill. So, you know, the rate setting process is separate. Okay. The rates are what the rates are going to be. But, for example, we know that the rates are going up 1.7% on, is it January 1st?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we offered an option. If you reduced your franchise fee by 1.7%, then basically that's offsetting their rate increase to the customers. And then you could go beyond that if you desire. And this table shows over a three-year or five-year period, what that would draw down your reserves, which are in the $300,000 to $350,000 range. You know, basically, if you were to reduce the franchise fee by 5% after 5 years, that would draw down your reserve from $350,000 to about $200,000. Ish. So I just wanted to make that clarification. Okay. We're not talking about reducing rates. We're talking about reducing the franchise fee.
Are we going to revisit the rate structure at some point? I recall at a previous meeting we had talked about that. There's some like handbook of rates that would be updated by all the communities some point.
Yes. With Bill Statler. He was the one who had put together that report, and it's the rate study that everybody uses in the county, I believe, too. And I have not been contacted to do that, and I will reach out to Bill Statler and the rest of the group. It was basically everybody in the South County plus Avila Beach and Napomo. That was a part of that discussion.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so anybody have any...
Well, in the bulky item pickup, I like the option number two better because it's more flexible and people don't have to save up all their bulky items and get rid of them at one time. I think it's a good idea to let them split it up into two times during the year.
I agree with that.
I do too. Okay, let's open this to public comment.
Yes, I'm still Nancy Bull, and I wanted to speak to the garbage rate structure, actually, not necessarily the increase. But I'm fortunate enough to be able to travel a good deal, and I'm gone for a significant period of time, and my garbage fee continues at a great rate, in fact, because I pay to have them come and pick it up. I have a torn rotator cuff, and it's very difficult for me to manage the tubs myself. So I pay them to come and pick it up. So that means if I'm gone for a month or maybe two, which I'm prone to do, I still continue to pay that full fee. They continue to stop the truck. A guy gets out, runs over, looks, sees there's nothing in, runs back to the truck. So it takes an additional time, plus I have a very expensive addition to my travel time. So I'm hoping that when you're talking to the garbage company about fee structures, that might be something you could address with them, is if someone is not here and they notify them, they can skip them so they don't have to stop and pick it up.
Very good. Thank you. Is that something we can talk to them?
We can certainly talk to them.
I've had that come up a lot with, like, people asking. That's a very good question. So it's something I think we can ask them about. Thank you.
Hi, Mary Lucy. I agree with the first speaker. The rates have gotten out of control. It's over, you know, if you're paying, you're minimum paying $50 per bill, you know. And so when you do go into discussing the contract, right, I think it's important that we really, you know, do a push to have the community voice, because these automatic increases of 1 point this, you know, 9.9% this is, it's kind of nickel and diming us to death. So it's like the attached sewer bill on our property taxes, you know, it's annoying. So if we could kind of nip it in the bud and maybe have them reconsider their rates, I think it'd be a good thing.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. So we were going to just provide direction, which I think option two is something I think we all
correct
that we will pursue.
I think I would approve that option two as a board, and
okay.
That way we can, as Ms. Cassiola said, we can provide them our board minutes with a letter, and then they can implement that program for us.
Okay, then can I get a motion?
Now, I just want to make one thing clear. They would not do the twice a year as they advertised that they were doing with the 10 bags. Can you, two bulky items and three bulky items, those are beds and mattresses, mm-hmm. But would you still get your bags?
You would just need to be, you'd have to do it the same time you did your bulky items. So you couldn't schedule your bulky items and then be like, I'd also like my 12 equivalent cans a different day. Kind of like how it is now. But you could pick your day, kind of.
Okay. I guess
so you
make
do the 12 bags.
Yeah, we made sure to confirm that, because I know if we took, we don't want to lose that.
Yeah. Okay.
Then I make a motion that we support option two and approve a change in the yearly extra pickups of trash and bulky items and garbage.
Second. Okay, may I have a roll call, please?
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Plogle?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes.
Now we got to go back to the 1.7%.
Now back to our franchise fee. Do we want to reduce? Can we get a preview on this again? A review this again?
Yeah. So if you focus on page 21 of 30, that kind of gives you the chart at the top. If we were to reduce our existing fee, which is 10%, you know, to 9%, 8.3%, all the way down to 5%. You can see what that would do to our reserves. Basically, it would have no impact on reserves if we just did the 1.7%. So that would, in effect, for customers, eliminate their rate increase January 1st. If we went beyond that, then they'd actually be seeing a reduction in their bills. And below that's the reserve balance that has been building year over year to the point where it's projected to be up to $350,000 next year if we were to do nothing.
Could that be done? See, if the rate increases in January, but the bill probably wouldn't come until February or March, do we have time to get that taken care of, or would we see a rate increase and then decrease?
So if we took action at the first meeting in January, I don't know how quickly they could get that into their billing system.
I know they bill the odd months because we're the even. So January, they're going to get their first bill.
So it would probably show up in March then.
Yeah, it would show up in March, our change.
Okay, so is there any public comment on this item? On this? Seeing none. So what do we want to do?
So I guess we're just looking for direction from you. If you would like us to come back in January with a resolution to reduce franchise fees, and if so, how much?
So do we want to reduce the franchise fees?
I'd like to put it off till January.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
You said you'd like to put it off till January.
I wonder how much it would be on the bill. About a buck?
Oh, how much?
Would it show on the bill?
I mean, we're not talking a lot.
So I know a monthly is about $30. That's bi-monthly. The monthly is $15. So that's for the smallest can. And then the bigger can, which is I think it's 96 gallons, that one comes in around $43. And that is monthly. And so
1.7% would even show?
Every penny counts.
I'm just trying to.
So it'd be 73 cents on the $42 can. That's what the 1.7% rate increase would be. So if you dropped it by that 1.7, then they wouldn't see any increase.
It's a nice gesture.
It's not much difference. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
So we want to just leave it?
Well, but I wonder what the impact would be for, like, restaurants or big users or apartment complexes. There may be a bigger impact on people who pay a lot more.
I could always bring that back. I don't have that analysis for bigger.
I think Shirley's kick it down the road, Shirley.
So
I agree.
Yeah, the 5% reduction would save them, you know, on that same $42 can, $2.10. So
we can bring this back in January.
They're not huge figures we're talking about. Yeah, we could do that if you want. We could bring it back in January with the resolution, and you could choose at that time how much you want to fill in, if any.
Okay. I think that's, we all agree on that.
And then we could probably include a rate structure on the different size cans and show you what that impact is.
Okay. That would be good to see.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's what we will do.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. That brings us to our item.
Okay.
This is the construction contract for the North Wing Pershing Waterline Replacement Project.
Yes. So, as I mentioned earlier, we had a bid opening on this North Wing Pershing Waterline Replacement Project last Friday. We've handed you out the bid results. And so there's a wide range of bids received. I think our engineer's estimate was $187,000 and some change. So we got two bids under that, Romina and Decal Engineering. And Romina is the one that's currently doing the drainage project for the county here in town, so they've already got their crews here. I'm guessing that's why they were able to put in a good bid. So they are the apparent low bidder. We're still doing our due diligence with their paperwork and confirming certain things. So what we're looking for today is based on this, to remind you, this was an informal bid under the public contract code that we work under, and that the public contract code gives you the authority to delegate the award of the contract to the general manager. So that's what we're seeking, is authorizing the general manager to award the construction contract to the low bidder, lowest responsible, and what's the other R? Responsive. Thank you.
So moved.
And approve a budget adjustment to pay for the project.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
I had a question.
Let's have some public comment.
Okay.
Yeah. Is there any public comment on this? Okay. Seeing none. You have a question, Cynthia?
Yeah. So I'm recalling what I've read in this a couple days ago. Oh, so if there's protests or anything, what would that involve? I mean, I guess the reason we're being asked to delegate the responsibility is because we only have one meeting this month, and it would push it out too long if we wait until the next meeting. Is that correct?
I'm sorry. What was the question again now?
Are we being asked to delegate the responsibility because our next meeting isn't for another month, and
so
that would push it out too long? Or
yeah, that was the main reason, is we wanted the ability to, assuming there was no hiccups like a bid protest or anything, award the contract so that they could get working on it sooner, because we're trying to coordinate this with the county's overlay project that's coming this spring. So we don't want to push it out too far where those could possibly where we'd have to go to the county and ask them to hold up the overlay project for us.
Right.
So that's really why we're asking for that authorization for the general manager, and it's allowed under the public contract code.
So what could the hiccups be?
A bid protest. If in our due diligence we found the contractor didn't have the right paperwork, the DIR registrations they're supposed to have, any of a number of things there, they aren't able to bond, for example. But I don't anticipate that, since Romina is a pretty solid company and they're here in Oceano already, so I don't anticipate any hiccups.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we do have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Oplogle?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes.
At last, we have got the project going.
Yay. The North Swing.
And maybe we could let some of those people who have been complaining about the water lines for... No, I'm serious. You know, there's some people who have come to us before, been very upset about that whole thing, and we should maybe make sure that they know that we are moving forward in a positive manner.
Very good. Okay. All right, that brings us to our next item, D, the election of officers and 2020 committee assignments. So how do we proceed on this?
So I think in the past, the way that you've done this, I think actually Paavo kind of walked the board through this, and I think probably the way it would make sense is to first consider the president and the vice president positions, and then take a look at the committee assignments that are attached in here and determine what kind of changes you want to make. And we'll try to just keep up and then do a, after the vice president and the president positions have been determined, we will try to keep up on what you're changing on committee assignments, and then just do a single vote for all those changes in one shot.
But the officers are separate than the committee.
Yes.
Okay.
I would do them separately.
So then we just open up nominations for president then?
Yes.
Right, first.
I would suggest that.
Okay, so I'll open the board up for nominations for president of the board.
I'd like to nominate Cynthia Rapogo for president.
Thank you.
So do you wait for a second, or do you just open up more, or what do we do?
I think you have
a nomination on the board. Okay. Then we'll see if there's this. Any public comment? Okay, so we have a nomination. Is there a second? Okay, seeing none, is there...
I'd like to make a nomination.
Yes, Shirley.
Since we have a new general manager, I think it would be helpful for the board to continue with President Austin as president and Karen White as vice president. So we have continuity. And three of us have only been here a year. So I think that would be beneficial to the board.
So is that a nomination for president and?
Nomination is essentially a motion, so there's a second.
Yeah. I'll second. Okay, there's been a motion and a second for president and vice president?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So then we'll do a roll call, please.
Public comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Public comment. Okay, seeing none.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Aplogal?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes. Okay. Well, that brings us to our committees.
So I'd like to make a motion of this board that we refuse Cynthia Aplogal membership on any committee because of her continued protests and opposition to the actions that have already been taken by the majority of this board, specifically in the recent weeks, the fire tax and state water, and making her normally, I support discussions over things, but normally when a decision is made, then in a democracy, the board proceeds and take action. But with Ms. Aplogal, she turned around and then brought all of her protests to things like the Oceana Advisory Committee. She's the Oceana Community Service District member on that board, and her report on the actions of that, of our actions on both the fire tax and state water, were mostly limited to her reasons for protesting and voting against both those issues. And I think it's so bad for our community, and it's impossible for this board to function if we're functioning as individuals, because our fiduciary duty is to the community and to the actions that we've taken. And for that reason, you know, she's opposed Central Coast Blue, fireworks, sanitation district. And recently, in the last week, she targeted me specifically on one of her social media Facebook posts about the potential for changing the way our elections are held after the 2020 census. And I just get really tired of this destructive actions that she takes in public.
There's a whole lot of mischaracterization in there. I'm not really sure where to begin. My Facebook post did not target you specifically. I just mentioned that if we went to by district elections, Halcyon has two representatives currently, and it could only have one.
No, that isn't what you said.
I did not mention your name.
Yes, you
did. I'm not gonna argue with you here, but I would like Mr. Minnery to clarify that I do not give up my free speech rights, and as long as I am stating that I'm speaking as an individual and not on behalf of the board, I'm free to express a contrary opinion to a decision the board has taken. And I'm also free to state that I voted against a position that the majority of the board had taken. That's just a factual matter.
Yes, you do not lose your First Amendment rights.
I'd like to make a second to that, and I had a couple words. There is a conflict of interest when an elected official also wants to be an advocate for environmental issues. Director Aplogal is trying to have it both ways, be an advocate and a board director. After an issue is discussed and the board has voted, the majority vote becomes the district policy. At that point, the board supports the policy, whatever it is. Director Rapogo continues to disagree and continues to criticize our board on social media and in appearances before other governmental bodies. Her behavior undermines our board and is destructive to the community.
Okay, is there any public comment on this item?
Mary Lucy Oceano, I sit on one of the committees out into the community, and I've always encouraged this board to put your best foot forward. And so if you're representing OCSD on another body, you know, you have to give the report. Don't, you know, not your opinion. And so one of the issues was that the advisory committee, we had asked for an OCSD report because there was some important agenda items that had to do with land use on your agenda. And what kept coming forward was a director's report opinion. And so I once again ask you to put your best foot forward, you know, do put your strongest fire person in fire, put your strongest water person in water, you know, and go from that and do your best to try to keep people on track. When I heard the report from State Parks, that's not in the jurisdiction of this body, this board. That's good community information, and it should happen in a community forum. But we're dealing with municipal services here. We're dealing with the services for the community of Oceano, not everybody else's issues, you know. Just because AG is looking at districting does not mean that 2 square mile little unincorporated areas should also be looking at jurisdictions and who should be, you know, this area being represented and that being. We're too small. We're 2 miles long. That's it. You know, not even long, I think all the way around. You know, so just do your best to represent us on fire. Do your best to keep the Sand District under control because, you know, they're out there. And do your best on our water, our resources. And let the rest just float to the side.
All right, thank you. Any other comments?
Vice President White, I just want to clarify then for the record that your motion was to preclude Director Rapogo from participating on any of the district committee assignments.
For the year 2020.
Okay. And that's the committee assignments and the liaison and subject matter assignments,
yes,
as well. Okay.
It's very sad that members of this board are so opposed to anyone having a differing opinion that they want to silence anyone who does, who tries to become educated on all of the issues and represent the community of Oceano to the best of her abilities, even when some other members of the board might not agree with that position. I have always, when I've been advocating and the position is not what the board advocates, I've always stated that I do not speak for the board and I'm speaking as an individual. And that's perfectly within my rights as a citizen of the United States, where the First Amendment is very important.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second.
I could answer that. Well,
okay. Go ahead.
No, I'm not going to debate it. I was just going to say I am not stopping Ms. Rapogo from her First Amendment rights, but when she is representing the Oceana Community Service District to oppose issues that were approved by the majority of this board, makes it very difficult for the community to understand what's going on. I think her responsibility first should be to this board while she's serving on this board.
You're
wrong.
Is this open for discussion?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Look,
I think it's a little harsh to, like, exclude her from all committees the whole year. I do remember, what was it, the beginning of the year or so? Can't remember the month where we had discussion about the Central Coast Blue and her representing her opinion. After that, I didn't personally hear any of this or read any of this, but I heard, and it was brought here to the board. So after that, whenever I read her or, you know, saw her in public, I do know she's consistently stated, because it's like I've gone to a lot of her public presentations or appearances, and she does state that she's speaking her opinion and does not represent OCSD when she is, you know, voicing her public opinion, and I do the same because I don't want that, you know, any conflict. So I don't know if the whole year seems, excluding her from everything the whole year to me seems a little harsh. I don't know if we could do probation or whatever. I personally have not seen or heard anything that she said about you, Karen, or anyone, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It might be that I'm not seeing it. The posts that I do see Cynthia has posted, they've said, you know, that, you know, the decision of the voting and why she voted contrary to the board, but she doesn't state, you know, they were, you know, in other words, she's just stating her opinion on why she voted the way she did, her justification. So it just seems harsh for the whole.
As an answer to that, at the most recent Oceano Advisory, she's representing the Oceanic Community Service District. She didn't give a report on what the majority of the board did. She gave a report on her voting and her opinion.
That's not true. I stated what the board had decided. There was some further discussion and further questions from the public, and then I discussed that I had voted in a different way and why I had done that. That's not at all the same thing, and you're misrepresented what happened at that meeting. I always try to be very factual in what I say and let the people decide. They can watch the video and see the reasons themselves. They can watch our meetings. So I was just reporting on what happened at the meeting, and there's nothing wrong with that. Now, it's clear to me that you're going to go down this road. I would just ask if you would throw me a small bone, if you might be imposed upon to do that. I'm very interested in reducing plastic pollution and decreasing waste. So if Director Villa would be amenable to giving up the IWMA representation, which is a non-voting representation at this point, I would like to at least be able to do that.
Okay, President Austin, if I might, just to address Director Villa's comment on an annual preclusion being harsh, your bylaws do have committee assignments to be coordinated with the election of president and vice president. However, the bylaws also make clear that by a majority vote of the board, you can reconsider committee assignments at any point during the year. So a decision today, whatever your board decides to do, can be revisited.
Okay. Or we can wait until January and reassign him, because there's probably no meetings between now and then.
The question is, though, what's going to change if you don't understand the concept of majority rules? And once we have approved something, that becomes policy. And yet you are still fighting against what we've voted on.
What the board voted on doesn't put a muzzle on me.
No, but it's not helpful to the community.
I think it is helpful to the community to have an informed discussion and understand.
They get that during the discussion before the vote. You have that opportunity.
The community is not here.
Well, that's the problem.
I'm not going to just bow down and say what the majority decides is what I'm going to represent if people ask me why I voted a certain way. I'm going to tell them the truth and let them make up their own minds, as they should. And it's a little bit obscene for a public body to say that everybody on that body has to fall in line and agree with us when we've made a decision, and they can't speak a word against
that's
it.
That's not what it's...
We don't expect everybody to fall in line, I mean, but we do expect the support for the community, and after the vote, if you disagree with it, you could be mute.
That's not what the First Amendment's all about. Maybe you should read the Constitution.
Okay, so
there's a motion on the floor.
A motion, and there's a second on the floor. Is there any changes or anything?
No. Okay. I'm ready to vote.
All right. Then restate your motion. I lost track where we were. I'm sorry.
Motion that this board... now I've got it. Refuse to put Cynthia Rapogo on any of the committees.
It's Rapogo.
Rapogo, excuse me.
Rapogo.
And as we clarified when I clarified it before, I believe Ms. White, would you
For the year 2020.
For the year 2020, for the committee assignments, other agency boards and committees, and the liaison and subject matter assignments as identified in the board package.
Yes, thank you.
I have a question. Does that also include the advisory?
Yes.
My understanding is that the motion was to include everything.
Just a note, I'm also the minute secretary for the Oceano Advisory Council, so if I no longer have a position on that council, the council will no longer have a minute secretary.
So we have a second? Do we have a second?
Yeah.
Okay. Then can we do a roll call, please?
President, Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
No.
Director Rapogo?
No.
President Austin?
Yes. Okay, now we will move on to committee assignments to other agency boards and committees. Do we just go down the list?
Yeah, President Austin, maybe if we just take them one at a time. And then we can have your approval at the end for all the consensus.
Okay.
I have a suggestion. Ms. Austin, by virtue of being president, is on the sanitation district. I would prefer to stay on the fire district. If Shirley did the water, and if we ask Aileen, to do integrated waste, all of the code enforcement, and oceanic clean and green, and all the cleanup, all the beautification, all the issues that have to do with Santa Maria, with Oceana, we'd each have one major task of the four major tasks that we have.
Excuse me, y'all don't need me for this, so I'm just going to leave.
Night.
Night.
Okay, so, we're going to go down the line one by one?
That's what I think would be the easiest.
Okay, so for South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, then it would be Austin, and then for the
alternate
would be, who wants to be the alternate?
Well, I was going to say Shirley could be the alternate to you, and Aileen can be the alternate to me, and we could just cross over.
Yeah.
You so everybody would be the alternate on the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
please.
All right. So then the RAC. So Five Cities Fire Authority be White and Villa. Water Resources Advisory Committee would be Gibson and Austin. Regional Water Management Group would be Gibson and Austin. Zone 3, Gibson, Austin. Unless, do you want it? I don't need to have, would you?
Yeah, Eileen wants some of those.
Care to do Zone 3?
What's it?
We learned a lot about water.
Okay.
Yeah. So Zone 3 would be Gibson and then Via.
Yeah, that was just a proposal.
And, yeah, and maybe do this, if you want to do the state water also. You do the two waters. That's what.
Yeah.
Those kind of go together, right?
Yeah.
Now, when is that? Is that easy for you to meet? When is the state water? Oh, it varies.
Yeah, it's usually 9 or 10 in the morning in San Luis. But it sometimes they skip months, like every other month, or just depending.
This one's here, the Lopez.
Which one? The Zone Lopez. 3 meets, where does it meet?
It meets at night, and we alternate between Arroyo Grove and here.
Oh, okay, like the sanitation.
Can Aileen get those?
Yeah. And you're on TV.
The Zone 3?
Yeah.
Okay. Oceano Advisory, Karen White wants to pick that.
Yeah.
You want to do Oceano Advisory?
Because I have to go anyway.
Okay. And we don't like need enough.
Just like one A, you're already on the board. Why would we have two people going?
Right. I don't. The social media, I'm not good at that. We had Via. Do you want to take over that one and make?
I'm not. You know, I was on because Cynthia was on there, and she's like the main one. I'm like not like that savvy.
I'm not either. Do we need the social media?
Well, Nicole's going to take care of it. It's not a board responsibility,
I don't think
is it?
We even need that.
I don't think we need it anymore because I believe it was to put together a social media policy, which you've done, and so you could eliminate that committee.
Right, and Pablo was afraid to let us do it.
And something to do with control.
Yes.
It's not even gone 2 hours.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so then the old firehouse, we'll leave it with Austin and Gibson. Everybody okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Supervisor, we'll leave that. Airport land use. Third Wednesday.
Well, you know, it doesn't meet very often, but...
Yeah.
Do you want to keep it, or do you want...
I really don't care, but hardly anything ever happens.
I know. I don't know.
Do we need to go?
It's an airport land use. I think it's something we need to know about when it concerns Oceano Airport.
I think
you should go.
I could do that one.
Yeah.
Let me do airport land use because I...
Yeah, and before, I think Pavel would... You know,
read
look
the agenda,
at the agendas.
Make sure.
Oh,
okay.
There was do airport.
Rarely Why? Anything about Oceano.
You live too close. Your office, your property's too close. Conflict
would, would it be?
It could be.
Okay.
Don't risk it.
So we're keeping Gibson. Is that what I hear?
Earth.
Or
I could, you know, I could do it. I don't.
Are we still talking about airport?
Yeah.
The airport land use. She said I'm too close.
Mm.
I could do it. I mean, I'm not doing anything else but just fire.
Okay.
Zone 11A, I'm on that committee, so somebody here could go to represent the district.
Well, why don't you go to...
I'm actually a member of it, because... So would it be the same thing, me representing since I'm...
I don't know if she was already on a committee.
It's not a committee for me. I belong to Zone 11A as a property owner. So to represent it as a... committee would be not normal, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's not a voting. It's not a
Yeah, I mean, it's just a report.
Advised,
I think it's fine if you go.
If I report back?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. LAFCO. Never gone. I guess it hasn't had time.
I think I was supposed to go. I was supposed to be
You
want to
be LAFCO?
I'll never go
either. Want to be LAFCO?
Yeah, Aileen, that would be...
I'll be LAFCO.
You want to be LAFCO?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
it may be
fire.
If any of them are interesting,
fire.
It's a good thing to learn about.
Yeah. I'll go to LAFCO.
NCMA, leave that alone. Central Coast Blue, we don't have that committee. We're going to cross that one out.
That's gone.
So you want to eliminate Central Coast Blue?
Yeah. And what's the slow cog sedimentation?
That's me.
Okay, whatever that means.
It has to do with the rising ocean tides.
Oh, okay.
And they had a meeting twice.
What about budgets, fees, customer rates, and charges?
I'll
is that a
that.
Committee that we, you're on
know
that
what
now?
You're supposed
so.
To do that. I don't know
yeah,
what.
Yeah, I don't. Think
and then the integrated waste management.
That would be.
That's a.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let me. Can I go down this list?
Yes.
So to make sure I, because I missed the sanitation district. So it was President Austin and who is
Gibson.
The alternate? Gibson? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then Five City Fire, we're keeping White and Villa?
Yeah.
Please. And RAC, Gibson and Austin?
Right.
Regional Water Management, Gibson and Austin? Zone 3, Gibson and Villa? State Water, Gibson and Villa. Oceano Advisory, White. RFP Ad Hoc, Gibson and Austin. Code Enforcement, same, Villa and White. We're eliminating social media technology outreach. The Old Firehouse Art is staying the same, Austin and Gibson. Supervisor Liaison is Austin, Airport, White, Special Districts Association, Austin, Zone 11A, Austin, LAFCO, White, Regional Board, Gibson, NCMA, Gibson and White. We're eliminating Central Coast Blue. White is on slow cog sedimentation. And no changes to the others. Is that accurate? Mm-hmm. So probably need to have a public comment.
Is there any public comment on the committee assignments? Okay, seeing none, then do we vote to...
I make a motion we approve the committee assignments. And
second.
Okay, may we have a roll call, please?
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes. Okay, then that brings us to any hearing items? None? And no any communications? Do we want to discuss any future agenda items? Or
I have one thing I'd like direction on. So I think at your previous meetings regarding the fire tax, you had expressed a desire to have public meetings, informational meetings, and
yes.
That was to occur in January. I think at that time there was also the desire to have one during the day and one in the evening. So since that discussion took place, I know Pavo and Carrie met with Templeton to talk about their process, and they indicated that there was very low turnout at their public community meetings. So it could be similar here. So I guess what I'm asking your board is, do you want me to schedule a special meeting of the board where you could all be present at this community meeting, or is it something where you just want a community meeting and, you know, two of you show up or not? And we're thinking of maybe having it on a Saturday during the daytime. Do we really need two meetings, or do you still want a daytime and a nighttime? I guess I'm just looking for some
Yes.
What's your desire on that community meeting?
Well, we have an audience. Maybe get some public comment first.
Yes.
Well, there are other communities where these meetings people don't show up. But when we had to introduce a rate increase for the drought, you know, first of all, Oceano was the first one out the door, so we didn't recruit a lot of debt. Because we didn't delay doing a rate increase. There was a small rate increase. And the way Pablo set it up with the visuals, we had a lot of people go through that depot because they wanted to understand acre feet. They wanted to understand how much water to waste and all this other stuff that they never had a chance to do. So I strongly encourage you to do the community outreach and figure out. He did the 5-gallon buckets. Figure it out on the fire. Figure out some tricky visual that you can do for fire, and people will show up.
I think we've had pretty good luck on something that's of this magnitude to have a meeting. I think we would do good by having a public meeting, not as a board meeting. But maybe it would be good to have a special board meeting also. At one time, we don't have two. We want to have two meetings before March. Is that? But do you have any comment on that, Beverly? What do you think?
Brenda Lowe, Oceano.
Brenda.
Well, first of all, I was otherwise disposed when the discussion came up, so I'm not sure. I hear you talking about.
We're talking about public meetings.
Community meetings.
Meetings about the fire tax.
Okay,
so
that's what
I want them in the daytime and one in the evening, one in the day, or on a Saturday.
Well, what we had previously talked about, I believed, was doing one or two right after the first of the year when we introduced this. And
that was the committee. This is the board.
Yeah, so
the public meetings, yes.
Oh, public meetings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Talking
about public. Yeah.
But the timing of it, you're basically asking, do we do a daytime and a nighttime?
Right.
Or, I mean, I think it needs to be blitzed and have as much exposure, even if nobody shows up.
Right.
The mere fact, the more we get it out there, the better. It's going to be a heavy, heavy lift. And I do like the idea of the previous speaker about something gimmicky, but I think we also need to coordinate the timing. You're trying to set the schedule, as I understand it, which dates and reserve a place and all of that type of thing. And the committee, speaking as a person who is attending the committee meetings, the 911, Oceano 911 committee, we are trying to get our ducks in a row by having a blitz as soon as we have our banners and our yard signs and all of that, and having it appear suddenly at once. If you're doing this ahead of time, if we're not having that going until the middle or third week of January, I'm sorry, can I buy a vowel? I don't know what that means.
We can't discuss it in this forum. I can't discuss it in this forum.
Okay, you can't discuss it. I'm a public member making a comment. Regarding the upcoming public meetings, I think we need to schedule ample ones, both at board meetings and separate meetings. I know it's heavy, but if we don't blitz it every 2 weeks something, every week or two, we have a window of 8 weeks till Election Day. From when we start this. And so I'm going to stop speaking.
They're trying to decide what.
It's kind of like I'm sitting here.
So perhaps we could set up a special meeting of the board, and then we could have workshops that the board doesn't attend so that we can have those at convenient times. Does that sound fair?
Yes.
And so.
But I wanted to make sure with Ms. Lowe that before the meeting should be after the signs come out. Is that what you were saying? Yes.
At the same time.
And well, you give signs at the meeting.
Right.
And
no, we can't do that.
Well, no, I'm not saying our meeting, but at the public meetings.
So this is purely informational.
Informational, yeah. We're just
meetings.
That's what, yeah.
That's what we're doing as
they're
a.
Not saying one way. I'm
as a
saying.
District.
Right.
Purely informational. So later in January is what I'm hearing.
Right. That's what
we'll have. What's our board meeting dates in January?
We're still in November.
Hang on. Staff is on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
What am I looking at?
January, well.
Okay. So the bottom is January.
Yes.
Thank you.
Your
okay.
Eye test.
So we have the 8th and 22nd as regular board meetings. Do you want a special meeting the 29th of the board? No?
No, sooner, I think.
Or do you just want a board item on the 22nd regular meeting that we're going to discuss this? And then have a workshop maybe that weekend that staff would attend.
Yeah, I think it should be on every board meeting agenda. So if we're looking to bring in the public, is the weekend a better idea?
Do they want to come on the weekend, public?
I don't know.
Or would you rather have an evening workshop during the week?
Kind of evenings are even harder, though. I think maybe a Saturday,
Saturdays in
people don't like
February.
To go out at night in the winter.
Saturdays in February are going to be football playoffs. Or no.
And Sundays.
So, well, no, but there'll be Saturdays and Sundays.
Well, there's only so much information we can provide. So,
right.
I mean, having it on the agenda every meeting, I don't know what I would say other than having the same information that we've provided.
Yeah, I guess you're right. So what if we did
it? It just is an opportunity for the community to ask questions, really, is what it is.
Yeah.
And we can give them factual information.
What about Saturday the 4th?
No.
Too soon.
No.
Okay.
So that goes back to my question. Do you want a special meeting of the board to do this?
Can the total board be involved in an informational meeting?
If we call a special meeting.
How about the...
So our meetings are the 8th and the 22nd scheduled.
Yeah, I was looking at the...
So if you wanted to have a special meeting of the board, you would be either the 15th
Saturday.
Or the 29th, or it doesn't have to be a Wednesday.
Or it could be a Saturday. It could be, you know, we could do a Saturday day meeting with the board and then another workshop in the evening with just staff if people...
That would be whatever.
Well, I don't think people
I'd like
know
to hear
Saturday
from the
night, but a
public
Saturday afternoon they might.
Okay.
Yeah, Saturday afternoon.
Saturday afternoon before you get into the professional football playoffs. The problem with Saturdays in Oceano is soccer.
Yeah.
Saturday afternoon.
January?
They go all day, right?
They're still playing soccer in January, aren't they? Or are they not?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, let's say they're not playing soccer in January.
I don't think in January.
No. They don't play in January? Okay. Almost. I'm not helping anybody. Saturday afternoon, the 11th of January. I'm throwing it out.
You want the 11th of January?
Mm-hmm.
Or the 18th?
Either one.
Do you have time for the...
I am looking at January because on February 2nd, February something like that, the 2nd, the mail-in ballots come out. And so my desire... as a member of this board of directors, would be that an informational meeting would be presented to my community prior to the
mail-in ballots.
So I think Saturday the 25th would work perfectly for that. We could call a special meeting Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, that may give people time to know something about it a little bit. Because most people do not know.
I think that's good timing.
Yes.
Yeah. Jeff?
Of course.
I think that's all the direction I need.
Okay, so I think with that, if there's nothing else, we make a motion to adjourn. I second it.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
Done all the damage I can do.